Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm. As expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of this program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal. I'm delighted to have a very popular guest, Dennis Camino, with me here today. The stories we have to cover are enormous, and I'm very keen to get Dennis's take on the current situation we confront. We have reports from Ukrainian volunteers claiming they were unprepared for the battle around Bakhmut, where the Russians are cleaning them up. We have Henry Kissinger reversing his position and now declaring Ukraine should join NATO, which, of course, is completely ludicrous. That was the primary reason Putin decided the necessity to intervene. We have the CDC secret report confirming the risk to children who died suddenly and reports that nearly 120,000 kids have died since they've introduced the vax for children. We have a former Intel official who signed the ridiculous letter that we're 50 plus claiming that the Hunter Biden laptop was Russian disinformation, which was ridiculous beyond words. And only now is he coming around to acknowledge that it was obviously real. I hardly know where to begin. Dennis, I'm just delighted to have you here. Give us your thoughts about any of the above or more.
It's such a poop show. I can't use the other word, probably. But, you know, if you would have asked me 5 years ago how rapidly this situation globally was going to deteriorate, I think I was prognosticating, even going back 10 years ago, that things were going to get ugly, but that what's going on with this distraction, really, which is what I call it the Ukraine debacle, which is Jews versus Jews. In other words, Russia, I call it Jew-Russia, is one cast of kikes fighting the Western cast of kikes for control. And Putinstein, who at one point was a cab driver and spent a great deal of time in Germany as an officer in the KGB, actually probably almost in the next room to Angela Kaczmarczyk, which we know as Merkel. These puppets have all been you know, and I'm going to clarify something. Putinstein is not much more or less of a puppet than the rest of the kike puppets that have been staged across the globe to keep the goyim, you know, stupidly entertained in the bread and circuses of the dying empire, which is the United States, or United Snakes, they call it. But this thing in Ukraine is rapidly coming to an end. And there was a statement the other day, I don't know if you're aware of it, but what took place is that some Western anuses in Germany and in Zeonato, as I call it, made the declaration that if the West doesn't go all in and throw everything they have into Ukraine and bolster it, then this will usher in World War III. Well, World War III was always the end for this anyway. It's a sad thing to have to come to grips with the fact that at the very end, because this has been an existential fight for both sets of kikes to get control, that the Zeonato kikes will probably resort to nukes, which they've always been blaming Jew Russia on with the first use of them in this debacle. But it'll be the West that uses them. And, of course, Jew Russia will have no choice but to empty all their silos and submarines instantly to get everything they've got in their hypersonic velocity realm into the United Snakes and destroy us before we have a chance to really get a meaningful first strike underway. Because right now they know that they have a short trigger, you know, 6 or 7 minutes to react, which doesn't give Russian battle commanders in Russia that man up the missile sites and the launchers and submarines that are under the sea off the coast of the United States on both east and west coast a whole lot of warning to make a decision. So they're going to err in the direction of, you know, not so much to save mankind, but to make sure that Russia gets the first blows and first devastating, decisive blows that'll utterly destroy the United Snakes of America, as they call it. So we're looking at a situation where if the jab doesn't get a chance to decimate billions of human beings that have taken it across this earth, which by count, I think they've said something upwards of like 20% of the global population has been jabbed and triple jabbed and quadruple jabbed. That's a lot of death. And we're looking at the global destabilization because of the financial collapse that's happening across the globe, which probably will be triggered by Japan with their machinations with their debt liabilities. And that contagion will spread across the earth and, of course, trigger a lot of global unrest, which the kikes aren't prepared for because, you know, right now the French are back in the streets. The Germans, unbelievably, are still laying on their asses. And not anything in Germany when they're freezing to death and they have to pay almost four times the price for G from the United Snakes that thing and gas for forever if they wouldn't have pissed in their own bed, you know, which they've done. But this whole global situation has gotten to the point now where we're looking at no curtain call coming up pretty shortly. And the sad nature of this is that there is no good side to this because it's Jews versus Jews, as is my observation. Albeit Putinstein is a much more eloquent, more thoughtful Jew, what he can put out. He's no less got a government that's 97% manned up by kikes that run it. So, I mean, he's got a Rothschild bank, just like Jew China has. You know, even if they look like the apparent winners of the finance collapse, as I call it, when that completes its cycle, which it's doing right now, the fourth turning, they call it, this whole situation with what's going on is the kites battling for the scraps, and they're not going to relinquish control. In other words, the Rothschilds are the ones that are driving all of it, and they've made statements throughout this whole thing that it's not acceptable in their eyes to let Ukraine collapse and for Jew-Russia to completely absorb it, which is what Jew-Russia will do in the very end. Jew-Russia will own Ukraine before the nukes fly, but it'll be a brief victory. It won't last. And the reason why it won't last is that, as I've always stated over and over on many, many shows and in a lot of stuff that we published online, the kikes will not let the goyim have a single shred of anything if they can't have all. And that's how they see the world. And they're certainly not going to capitulate by just letting Putinstein absorb Ukraine and dissolve ZeoNATO, because ZeoNATO has no possible way of surviving the end of this war. In other words, it'll be crystal clear to all these vassal states of the United Snakes that propping up ZeoNATO and giving 2% of their GDP in a world where right now the debt to GDP ratio is almost 400% over GDP across this entire planet, and most of that is the United Snakes and the European Union. So this is all rapidly coming to, like I said, the final curtain call, and I don't know how to put it to the people that thought that Trump or any of these other Jew puppets were going to save us, thought that in the end that the cavalry was going to come over the hill with the bagpipes blaring, because that's not how this game will play out. The end of this game is hypervelocity missiles coming out of all kinds of launchers from the Jew-Russian side, destroying multitudinous targets in cities across the United States, Canada, France, Germany, Great Britain, New Zealand, Australia. I mean, this is going to be one hell of a grand finale, you know, when it goes. And I'm not saying that I'm resigned to being gone, but I've known quite a long time that this endgame was going to be very pyrrhic and very disgustingly final as the last chapter in mankind's book. And it's a tragedy that the goyim didn't wake up 40, 50, 60 years ago and decide, as George Patton decided, that he had been fighting the wrong side and that the major issue here was that we destroyed Germany, which is fighting for its very survival, and had been set up by the Bush clan with ThyssenKrupp and all these other Jew organizations that armed Germany just so they could make it look like the straw man argument that would ultimately collapse and give way to the biggest hoax in mankind's history, which is the Hollow Hoax, when we have 171,101 is the total death toll in all the camps in all of Europe by virtue of the Red Cross Council. This is going to be a very interesting end, and I don't see a light at the end of the tunnel other than a speeding freight train coming at us. And the problem with people in America is they're so disconnected or disassociated from reality that they're unwilling to look at the fact that they've been played and duped all of their lives, and that they've been led down the chute to the needle gun every second of their existence. And they'll probably, for the last part of what's left of humanity's clock here, still support these kikes and these scum Rothschild filth that infest the globe and drive everything to a very pyrrhic and very brutal ending for mankind. But that's where we're at. That's where we are now. Did we lose the connection?
Dennis, tell us what you really think. I have been championing Putin as, you know, fighting a good fight on behalf of all of humanity. You paint a far more dire version of what I've taken to be a quasi-positive development, but certainly we've seen traitors like this Jamie Raskin saying the United States has to squander all of its resources to save Ukraine.
Are you still there?
You can't hear me, Dennis? Dennis, you can't hear me?
Oh, yeah, I can hear. I just heard that. But these long pauses are throwing off the rhythm of the funeral dirge a little bit.
No, that was my mistake. I had muted while you were speaking, and I hadn't unmuted when you first came back. So I'm saying Jamie Raskin has been saying how the United States has to throw all of its resources, all of its treasury, all of its weapons into supporting Ukraine, which seems to me illustrative of the Israeli Zionist agenda, to wit, fight wars to the last American soldier. But you're pointing out, your observations are that the Rothschilds are on both sides, that regardless of who might prevail, the end is near, that Putin cannot allow Ukraine to go, you know, the wrong way. I have felt from the beginning his intervention was fully justified politically, morally, militarily. Your thoughts about Putin's rationale, Dennis? I mean, you're giving us a very, very grim scenario, and I'm certainly not in the position to argue you're wrong. I just want to hear more.
Well, you know, for the longest time, I wanted to believe in Vlad Putinstein, just like all of us did. You know, we wanted to, you know, everything in Western world is simplistic, and in the Jubuki theater, as I call it, where they have the puppet show going on to entertain the goyim, just like they did in Munich and in Japan. Basically, same thing. It distracts the goyim and gives them something to rally around. Putinstein even admitted just recently in the last couple of weeks that he was wrong not to have smelled this rat back in 14 when the United Snakes installed the puppet government over Yanukovych and put in this little moron kike midget that plays the piano with his penis, with Hunter Biden and Joe Biden and Barry Sotoro's assistance with this piece of scum that uber Zionist Rothschild agent that's been deeply embedded in the snake department, as I call it. Putinstein really, should have, going back in time, and I think to give him some credit, he understands that this game is a zero-sum game for everybody, I think, but you look at his face and his general faces, if you look at Gerasimov, who I think is probably a brilliant tactician and a good soldier, and you look at Peskov and all of the people in the Jew-Russian apparatus, I think that they understand with crystal clarity that no matter how this plays out in Ukraine, that the other kikes on this side of the pond absolutely, positively will not let that turf fall, because that's Khazaria 2.0. That's where the kikes wanted to park all the kikes that are getting thrown out of Palestine, which they can't sustain very much longer. So that was the imperative here, is to give the kikes, turf inside of part of Jew Russia to settle. Unfortunately, in Putinstein's transition from cab driver and KGB agent, he, as smart as he is, and by the way, I have to give him some accolades for being a very smart kike, much brighter than 90% of them, 99% of them. He is a person that predominantly felt that his country probably came first. And if you really want to get right down to it, when you look at the scum and villainy in the Beltway that sold this country down the toilet years and years ago, 1913, with Woodhead Wilson signing the Federal Reserve Act into law, without ratification by 2/3 majority in the Senate, by the way, the United States was sold out so very long ago, but to these New York kikes and the Santa Monica kikes and Miami kikes, that basically the world was split, torn asunder by Rothschild's control of the Western Reich predominantly, and the other half of what used to be the collapsed Soviet Union, which were Reichs nonetheless, but who had a different vision that they would emerge from the 10 years of looting that the Jews and their oligarchs did, cleaning out all the wealth out of Russia, which, by the way, Putinstein stopped that. He nipped that in the bud, issued arrest warrants to them, told them never to come back. You got to give him some credit, but I think that Putinstein is far from a stupid moron idiot. He understands with crystal clarity that this is a zero-sum game, and it's going to play out with a zero sum for everybody. Nobody will win this one. But on the battlefield, he will win briefly before the nukes fly. And I guess that. I think Chimov knows that. And I think that all the statespeople that have been adroitly pointing to the hypocrisy and the depravity in the United Snakes it has been, because they actually have been fighting it. You have to also understand that Putinstein made it mandatory for his people to get this death jab, you know, which is a stupid move, because he needed almost 2 million people in uniform to fight this Western kike shit going on, pardon my French. And he's decimating his own population. By the way, the two Russians, by the way, have been a little bit brighter and faster and quicker on the uptake. And the fact that they haven't been quite so smart, quickly rushing to the conclusion that they needed to get 5, 6, 7 of these poison needles shoved into their bodies with the spike protein and the graphene in it. So, I mean, indirectly, he sabotaged his own nation by subjecting huge numbers of his population of the age to fight against the West to something that will kill them before they get a chance to put on a uniform. So I think that in ways, you know, by the way, Russia always would refer to the United States as our partners. They're our partners, our colleagues, our blah, blah, blah. They didn't change that tune until about 2 weeks ago, where now they're called adversaries, very rightly so. But we were adversaries all along from the minute we foisted the Russian Revolution on Russia, killed the royal family, the Tsar, you know, with a kike revolution, it was the Bolsheviks, which were Jews. So Putinstein, you know, for the time that he's been a ruler, always had best interest in. But I really want to beg to differ with people. I think he was the hero that was going to be the savior, that was going to save the world, because he understood that as powerful and large as Jew Russia is, with the landmass greatly superior to ours with resources and predominantly energy resources and food, he also knew that there would come a day, you know, which formally kicked off in 2014 with the Maidan coup that the United States fomented, that his country would come under attack from all these kikes on the western side of it. So this kike versus kike thing has been western versus eastern kikes. And Rothschilds run one half of this. In other words, they controlled the Jew-Russian bank, the central bank, and they'll pull the rug out from underneath Russia in spite, as a spiteful move to punish them for putting up a fight that they expected it just to be a walk in the park. The Western Jews wanted to take Russia and dismantle it and steal all the resources. And Vlad Putinstein has been the Jew on the other side saying, no, 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 boys, you're not going to steal my country from me. So I have to commend him for playing a very good nationalistic role in trying to prop up Russia. But it's a day late and a dollar short, in the sense that the United Snakes will resort to nukes in Ukraine. And he knows it. He's very smart man, and yet he realizes that when the first tactical nukes come from Germany into his Ukraine to hit his troops, I'm sure that every single submarine ballistic missile is warmed up with gyro spinning, just like all of his strategic nuclear forces across his country, and that they're at DEFCON 1 for what it's worth, and they know what's coming. And ultimately they will prevail in the thermonuclear exchange, but they also will die from the nuclear winter. But they'll get in first nasty hard licks against United Snakes, and they'll destroy us in the end game. And the kikes over here will be completely clueless that one half of Jewry that was not controlled totally by them on the West couldn't possibly foresee that in the end they would lose everything in this gamble to take part of Russia, which was historically always part of Russia, and try and steal it when Putin-Stein absolutely positively wasn't having any of that. So this battle has been in the brewing for a very long time. Putin-Stein warned the West over and over again, gave them many, many opportunities to get ZeoNATO out of the encroachment position to prevent this hegemonic game of zero sum from playing out as it will. And so we have to give Putin-Stein some credit for being the man that tried to stop Armageddon, but he won't be able to stop it. It's going to come. It's inevitable. And the reason why is that the kikes always have that feeling that when they chortle to themselves as they wring their hands over their little fortunes that they amass in their shekel-grubbing game, that they'll be damned if they'll let Guam have any of the spoils. They'll prevent any of us from having anything. And that's what this jab was all about, to depopulate the world, because they couldn't count on this war happening for absolute certainty. And I'll even put forward the theory that this Jew jab was in the works a long time ago, because it took some time to come up with the mRNA formula to kill so many human beings across the earth. And by the way, these doctors and these SOBs in the hospitals that administered it, I hope that the surviving relatives of people that have died unnecessarily, being murdered by the doctors that shove the needles in their arms, that they'll rise up and go to these hospitals and go to these medical institutions and end the life of the sons of bitches that caused the mass death, because that's justice. That's what has to happen, no matter whether we survive or not. In the very end, the people that have been murdered in mass by these kikes need to be punished for what the hell they've done. That's what.
Hold that thought, Dennis. We'll be right back after this break.
I got it, Jim. Keep rolling.
Oh, go right ahead. Go right ahead, Dennis.
No, I mean, the thing is, I don't see a way that we can get out of this corner we've been backed into, because the brinkmanship by the West, you know, they made it crystal clear in the last couple days, because they always project everything onto the other side, like the other side is going to be the ones that does the first launch. But there's no way that Russia needs to do the first launch, because the hypersonic weaponry is vastly superior in speed and lethality, in the sense that the minute they detect the launch from any part of Germany or Poland, wherever the United Snakes launches the tactical nukes from, that once those nukes start to fly, I don't think Russia has any choice whatsoever but to get everything that they own out of the silos. And by the way, they're hardened silos have antechambers with as many as 3 additional ICBMs, MIRV warheaded ICBMs, ready to launch in minutes, unlike ours, that once we launch, the silo is dead for 6 months of refurbishment before it can be used again. That's not how it works in Russia. They can launch over and over and over. And all of their stuff will hit targets in the United Snakes, Britain, all of vassal states of the United Snakes, and utterly obliterate them long before our craft lands on Russian soil, what little bit will make it there. But they also know that the ending game for this is nuclear winter, where a 20 or 30 degree Celsius change in temperature of the planet for so many months that nothing will germinate, nothing can be grown. We don't have the mass hydroponics underground or the power supplies to sustain the grow lights for them underground in place. The kikes had bought these little bunkers, as in Bill Goetz, the kike that runs MicroDick. He doesn't understand that even with his nuclear RTG and his water generation and all that, that at some point he's going to have to come out of that hole. And what he comes out to on the surface will be a frozen wasteland that won't sustain human life. And there's no way he can survive it either. But all these kikes, with all their bunkers and all their ideas about how they're going to prevail, they have, as I've stated in recent stuff I've written, they have sawed off the very branch that they're sitting on over the abyss for themselves. And they've guaranteed their own extermination by their own stupidity and their own hubris and their own mendacity. So there's no winning for them in any way unless, in the end, they get to grin for 5 or 6 months and they're dying, that they ended all life on this planet, albeit it'll be a miserable way for us to go, freezing to death with no food, those that will survive. And there'll be a lot of survivors. But remember now that the jab still will be dying no matter what. They've kicked the chair out from underneath future population growth to sustain any kind of population on this ball. And this is why they had to blow up the Georgia Guidestones to get rid of the evidence or the roadmap to decimate what they thought they were going to do with the global population down to 500,000, They don't think things through in the sense that they're simplistic, because our minds are so tainted by inbreeding for 12 centuries that they just don't have the wherewithal to understand that they themselves brought about their own demise. And that's the only thing that any of us can be grateful for, is the fact that the miserable SOBs are going to die with us when we go. That'll be the end.
Dennis, that's just fascinating stuff, I gotta say. I mean, it's tragic beyond belief, but I wish I could give a good reason to dispute anything you're reporting here. I'm sorry to say it looks to me all spot on. Tell us more about how the theft of the election, this Biden fraud and all that play into the larger equation.
Well, the thing, about Donald J. Trump, and I've actually defended him when he was raided in Mar-a-Lago, because he didn't deserve it, not because he's a humanitarian by any means. He's always been a fraud and a shyster and a grifter. But when you measure him next to all the shysters and grifters in the Beltway, 500, almost 600 of them, including the scrotumus, as I call it, the Supreme Court pieces of scum that rule over us and pontificate and tell us how we're going to live our lives. By measuring him against them, I mean, as blatantly as he's been as a grifter and a self-serving jerk and a turd, he's light years ahead of them relative to the moral standing on the scrotum poles, I call it. I mean, comparing him is like comparing salamanders to the brightest primates on the planet. I mean, it's not even a close fit. And of course, all of this crap in the Beltway with these hearings and the fabricated January 6th BS that Trump's people walked right into the trap that it was, because they were idiots and didn't realize the Democrats set the trap for them. And it was a staged event. Every bit of it was staged, and they walked right into it and gave the kikes in D.C. an excuse to further destroy civil liberties and rope in the goyim and make it impossible in this country to foment any problem issue with the disillusionment and protest against this skullduggery and scumbaggery in D.C. and these other governments, just like what happened in Canuck Land, where this piece of scum WF pile of crap that clamped down and took property from the truckers who had done nothing whatsoever in any way, make, or form to deserve the crackdown, because they were peacefully demonstrating in the dead of winter, for goodness sakes, in bitter cold, and they were doing it the right way, and they still got driven out of that capital, because the kikes in charge of all of these governments know they cannot tolerate one iota, one splinter of dissent. And the one thing that I have to say about the GOP people that followed Trump is that they were a day late and a dollar short to protest against the mass murdering that the United Snakes has been doing across the globe. They were perfectly fine with what we did to Iraq. They were perfectly fine with what we did to Syria. They were perfectly fine with what we did to Vietnam. I call it probably the thing that kicked off the odious debt destruction of the United States by putting that war on the credit card, which we couldn't afford. I mean, all of these GOP people that are pretending to be America Firsters, they had no problems whatsoever with the United Snakes meeting out mass death across the globe to the tune of 200 million people in my lifetime. They had no problems with that. Just as long as America got to stand on top of the skull pile and the corpses and eat better than the rest of them. So I have a problem with the people with the America First mentality. Where was your morality, people, when the United States was setting the stage for global hegemony for this so-called new America, the Jew American century, where the entire planet would be completely subjugated by kikes wherever free people live and stand? Where was your morality then? Where was your protest then? You not only stood by it, but you supported it. And not saying the Dinocrats did anything for us either, because they were the ones that really basically wrote the blueprints for the genocide and the mass murder across the globe every single time. But the stupid morons in the United States of America have got the intellect of a toaster, and they'll queue up behind any populist that seems to say the right words when they forget about the whole entire history of the United States, where we've done nothing but undermine democratic governments, slaughter innocent peoples across South America and Central America, and foist war on the planet for all but 16 years of the existence of this godforsaken country that we live in. I mean, nobody in America wants to own up to the fact that we have been the enemy all along. We have been the monsters. We have been the Rothschild enablers, the destroyers of mankind. As I put in that one thing I wrote, Robert Oppenheimer was watching the detonation of the first bomb at Alamogordo, he quoted a line out of the Bhagavad Gita where he said, I have become death, the destroyer of worlds. Well, that's what kikes are. They are destroyers of everything. They destroy everything they touch. And the moron sheeple emulate them and look up to them like there's something to admire and to follow, when in fact they've led humankind down a path to perdition and to utter total destruction.
Dennis, the only point you made to which I take exception is my understanding is that Russia used their own vax, not the Pfizer or Moderna. Am I mistaken about that?
From what I understand, it's an MRA weapon just like ours is. In other words, it's a copy. And it's killing people in Russia, but the sad irony is that a lot of Russians were quicker on the uptake and realized what it was, and they didn't take it, to their credit. You know, I mean, I'm going to tell you right up front, and you know, because I have Russian blood coursing through my veins as I sit in this chair. Part of my ancestry comes from Russia. But the problem with this is that they were brighter and smarter and avoided taking it like... In the United States, is Dr. Campbell and these other people, that, including this documentary that came out recently on Rumble called "Died Suddenly." They pointed out that some people, you know, at least some of the smart people, didn't take the jab. And you know, here's the funny thing about this is that even people in Africa were smart enough not to queue up and get the jab. They didn't do it. So across the globe, there's been a small percentage of people with an IQ just barely over 100 in most cases that were actually brighter than the average moron in the United Snakes and didn't queue up to get the poison jab. But let's say this war, this thermonuclear war, doesn't happen. Let's say that for some unknown reason, the United Snakes doesn't launch nukes against Ukraine. And there is no thermonuclear war, and they just win outright. Well, we still lose. It's still a zero-sum game because the death toll across this planet will be probably, when it's all said and done, at least half of the 8 billion people. And the lion's share of those people that will survive, because they didn't get the jab, live in primitive parts of the world that don't really produce food. They're dependent on places to survive. So Putinstein has a very real problem with the fact that Sputnik is nothing more than a copycat of this crap that Pfizer and the other scumbag SOBs in this godforsaken toilet manufactured to kill off mass numbers of human beings. So we're already at a net loss for population growth to replace people on the earth in a major way, where even China was foreseeing a major issue with not being able to replace people fast enough to maintain, you know, production of things, the junk that they make and they ship to the Western world. So we're looking at a mass die-off across the planet that won't probably stop until every single jab person finally kicks the bucket and is over with. And that doesn't bode well, because as I wrote in a thing I whipped around called Calling the Shots, which you might not have seen, I didn't know if you got it, that I postulate that in the very end, the people that realize that they're dead men walking, that they're two or three heartbeats away from an infarct and ready to croak, those people that are launch control officers, those people that are in chemical plants, nuclear power plants, in positions where they can cause massive, catastrophic, mass death, will probably resort to that as a form of revenge, because they know, they're smart enough to know that they too stupidly got coerced into taking the death jab that's killing them. And as chaos and anarchy rules across this planet because of the financial collapse that nobody can stop because it was in the works for a long time, gets to the point where the police officers, the donut guards, run home to protect their own, the cities will erupt into just total rank lawlessness and destruction, and they'll be burning. Stores will be looted, burnt to the ground. Drivers won't be able to drive because they'll be hijacked. Trucks will be burnt. The degradation of society in the West is so rapid and so complete that even if we don't have a thermonuclear war, the collapse of society will finish off humanity inside of 10 years or less. So there's no shiny side to this coin, even if we don't have the thermonuclear exchange. And I'm going to even submit to be quite upfront about it, a thermonuclear exchange would be a good coup de grace for humanity, because it was stupid enough to let Jews poison everybody with a jab that had no business being injected into a single human being, or for that matter, the small number of rats that they used as test subjects, because they didn't use any test studies on humans. Every test animal they injected with the poison died within hours after it was injected. And that proved the lethality of the shot, and yet the moron idiots still took it. Those of us that didn't get it, we can pat ourselves on the back all day long, but we depend on people to operate the nuclear power stations. We depend on people to grow the food, the farmers that are getting driven off their land by corporations that are stupidly putting up solar farms in California. I mean, I can go on and on and on, but I think the thermonuclear war is the best game end for humanity, because it saves us the slow and ignoble slow death that comes from the chaos and the out of control collapse of society that's coming because of what the Jews have done.
Wow, that's quite a scenario you portrayed, Dennis. Again, you think even without a nuclear exchange, Earth is doomed. Just review the bidding on that again, Dennis. I just want to get clarity on my own mind.
The thing is that what they've done is they have so destroyed society's faith in any authority at all. But if you look at the inner cities now that are full of homeless tents and people that are hooked on this fentanyl drug that ultimately kills a lot of them anyway, we have a society that's in full-blown total collapse as it is. I mean, you don't have to take too many you know, shots of wake the hell up from the dream, to look around you and see that every part, every aspect of human life is falling apart at the seams. Wheels are coming off this wagon, this crap wagon. And at some point, the donut guards will go home and protect their own, because they have no possible way of being able to deal with a zombie apocalypse that will ensue in every single population center across this planet that has this crap that's coming out of Mexico, this fentanyl garbage, and crocodile in Russia, by the way, same thing. I mean, when order disintegrates across the planet and anarchy is not such a bad thing, because, you know, in and of itself, the removal of unjust rule isn't a bad thing, but the lawlessness and the total disregard that humans will show each other, instead of being smart enough to understand that the only hope humanity would have is to form cohesive bonds and help each other, what they're doing is they're joining this club that the Jews foisted on them, called "It's All Me, 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 and Screw Everybody Else." Humankind cannot survive with what's coming at us. And this climate change thing, which has absolutely nothing whatsoever to do with anthropomorphic reasons at all, is a natural cycle for the Earth. And part of it was exacerbated in 2011 by the global planetary orbital axis shift that happened when that quake in Fukushima shifted our axis, and the declination angle of the rotational axis of the Earth even worse than it was. So that's why we have massive flooding and heat waves that are mind-blowing, because, you know, the more the Earth wobbles back and forth and causes whole entire segments of this globe to go from one massive shift to the other side of the pendulum, it means that the temperature extremes will probably decimate the ability to have stable planetary, you know, food production, not to mention travel will become impossible when the atmosphere is so full of moisture in some areas. Like this right now, if you look at the satellite picture coming from the Pacific, it's a never-ending river of water that's coming off the Pacific, going across the United States in two large swaths, pushed by the jet stream. And there'll be times when, I predicted this openly in things that I've sent to people that I correspond with, that there will be days, if not months, where air travel will be impossible, where if you take your vehicle out on the road to go anywhere, the hailstones will be so large they'll break your windshield and you'll get killed, because they'll be bigger than softballs. I mean, the atmospheric changes, which are all natural, that mankind had nothing whatsoever to do with, are in and of itself enough to really make global travel almost impossible and food production impossible. So, I mean, when you really look at all of the things that the kikes have covered up that had nothing whatsoever to do with human intervention at all, we have a very rough future ahead. And it has nothing whatsoever to do with global warming, which is absurd and BS to think in the industrialized time that we've had on this planet that we're going to overcome, you know, eons of history that the Earth shows us in core samples we take from the Arctic, that shows that there have been deep, deep cold cycles that the Earth has endured long before a single human being set foot on this ball. And humans have done nothing whatsoever to prepare for what it would take to be able to sustain human life, which would mean underground hydroponic food growing facilities and energy generation capability that perpetuates human life in underground facilities far from the planetary things on the surface that we won't be able to overcome, such as an ice age, which probably, in the grand scheme of things, will come on real hard. Even a 5-degree Celsius temperature shift on this Earth is enough to make extinction a very real possibility without even have to worry about nuclear war, nuclear winter. So we had kikes that had everybody transfixed and mesmerized by all the Jubuki theater, to the point where no one anywhere did any preparation for natural things that needed to be dealt with, notwithstanding the collapse of society. And like I said, this collapse of society will be the real reason why they'll have to tamp dirt on humanity, is because you can't have survival when everybody's in it for themselves. The only way humankind can survive is if mass numbers of humans form cohesive bonds and cooperate, which they will not do because they've been told by the kikes over and over again, no, 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 it's all about you. It's not about everybody's survival. It's about you yourself. And therefore, the prognosis for the outlook for mankind is very, very bleak. And like I said, I think that the thermonuclear war will be the kind and more gentle way of ending mankind than having everybody descend into anarchy and lawlessness and global famine, which is what the kikes have engineered for us.
Dennis, I'm really fascinated by some of this stuff about the weather, because I believed it was weather engineering, geoengineering with, the hurricanes in Florida to punish the Santos for sending 50 migrants to Martha's Vineyard, that in California they'd had an artificial drought and now artificial massive rains to destroy California as an agricultural base for the nation. And, of course, we've had food supplies all over the world, millions of turkeys, chickens slaughtered. All the sources of food are being decimated in an effort to bring about mass starvation because the vax isn't killing enough fast enough. Your thoughts?
Oh, you're exactly right. I mean, Gavin Newsom, the communist SOB that runs California, Kate, yes. He's letting huge amounts of water be just let go from reservoirs right to the sea. You know, when we were looking at the possibility of the widening droughts in California. What's going on in California now? There's a very good documentary done by a guy named Nick Johnson about what they've done in the San Joaquin Valley and in the agriculture belt, which is the center of California. They've decimated the ability for farmers to grow food. By the way, California produces more food than the Midwest does, really. It does. And almost everybody across this entire country, and probably even parts of Europe, were getting food that was shipped out of California. But that's coming to an end because that miserable communist bastard is destroying California's food production capability. Just like what's happening in the Midwest, where they're going to see drought after drought after drought, and food production will come to a screeching halt. Russia has no constructive reason to have any mercy on the United Snakes of America after what it has done to try and destroy his country. And the one sad fact of life is that even if there's no thermonuclear war, Russia has absolutely no incentive to sell energy to Europe, as I call it, or let the United Snakes get a single bite of food from the fields in his country that still can produce it, because he's sitting on a vast wealth of food production and energy that the United States has been eyeing with and wringing their Jew hands over for a long time. And he has no reason to give that up, and I don't believe in the aftermath of a Russia versus Jew-NATO war in the Ukraine, in the aftermath of that, if there's no thermonuclear exchange, that Russia has any incentive whatsoever to feed or give any energy to anybody except the people that are aligned, which would be China, for instance, and probably some of the BRICS nations. So the United Snakes of America has not only cut itself off from energy, and it can't sustain this LNG production shipments to Europe and make a dent in what's coming, because we have a global catastrophe in the form of an ice age that'll last probably 50 or 55 years that's going to worsen every single year from this point forward. I mean, the cards on the table don't speak very highly of mankind's survival, because it'll put Jew Russia on the map as the only truck left that needs to be looted and ransacked. And if the kikes and the United Snakes in the pentagram, as they call it, the pentagram, don't find a way to try and steal it again, because Russia has to decisively end this zero-NATO game once and for all. And once that's over with, the United Snakes will be completely ostracized and cut off from the world. It won't be able to trade. We are a net importer in this country of virtually everything that we get. And we've done stupid things like shut down our energy production in North and South Dakota and Wyoming and Montana and made it impossible for energy production to occur when the United Snakes put all of its eggs in one basket with this electric vehicle crap, which is an absurdity and a gross lie and completely facetious, because we don't have the electricity production to sustain a nation that's driving electrical vehicles, which is what's being mandated by this communist in California and these other kikes that are running everything. So, I mean, at the very end, I think that the wiser people that survived, that they did not get the jab, will rise up, and they'll overthrow these governments, and that'll give the kikes and the United Snakes even more incentive to use nukes to tamp down the resistance. So whichever way you want to war game the end of humanity, we're in a phase now where far too many mistakes and stupid calculations by the kikes have taken place to the point where there's no way to recover from what they've done. They've set the stage over 45 or 50 years for a complete, utter systemic failure that we cannot avoid, because we've now cut ourselves off from food production and energy production that most of the earth needs and the U.S. won't get. So when the U.S. dollar, by the way, which is becoming worthless by the second, becomes completely unacceptable by OPEC, they won't accept it at all to pay for energy, where is the United Snakes going to get the energy then? Because we're completely depleting the strategic oil reserves right now to artificially keep the price of oil down, and that cannot go on for very much longer.
Stand by. We'll be right back with Dennis Camino right after this break.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out "And Nobody Died in Boston Either." Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
That the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. But time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence. At the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming. And it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Dennis, this has been a fascinating and extremely sobering presentation you've made, where I find it very difficult to take exception to any of your points. I know we have many in the audience who'd like to raise questions, so I intend to open the lines early. But before I do that, I want to throw out one more absurd development, again coming from California. San Francisco's reparations panel suggests $5 million payment to black residents. Let me review this article and then you can dissect it. Because of all the absurdities of our time, this ranks right up at the top. San Francisco's reparations committee has proposed a $5 million payment in total debt forgiveness to each black longtime resident due to the decades of systematic repression. The San Francisco African American Reparations Advisory Committee, AARAC, presented a draft of its plan to city leaders last month. The AARC was created in December of 2020 by the city's Board of Supervisors. The committee will submit its final proposal to Mayor London Breed, the board, and the San Francisco Human Rights Commission in June. The proposed reparations are not for slavery, because California technically was not a slave state. Instead, the payments and debt forgiveness would address the public policies explicitly created to subjugate black people in San Francisco by upholding and expanding the intent and legacy of chattel slavery. While neither San Francisco nor California formally adopted the institution of chattel slavery, the tenets of segregation, white supremacy, and systematic repression and exclusion of black people were codified through legal and extra-legal actions, social codes, and judicial enforcement, the draft states. The board's legislation to create a committee allows city leaders to reject or outright ignore the committee's work. The suggested one-time $5 million payment would be a lump sum to each individual. A lump sum payment would compensate the affected population for decades of harms they've experienced and will redress economic and opportunity losses that black San Franciscans have endured collectively as a result of both intentional decisions and unintended harm perpetrated by city policy. Applicants would need to be at least 18 years old and have identified as black or African American on public documents for at least 10 years. They must also prove at least two of eight additional criteria, including having been born in San Francisco between 1940 and 1996, and have proof of residency in San Francisco for at least 13 years, and or personally be the direct descendant of someone incarcerated by the failed war on drugs. The plan calls on San Francisco to supplement lower-income recipients' income about $97,000 annually for at least 250 years. That would reflect the area median income, according to the draft. Racial disparity across all metrics have led to a significant racial wealth gap in the city of San Francisco. By elevating income to match AMI, black people can better afford housing and achieve a better quality of life. The ARAC's plan also seeks to establish a comprehensive debt forgiveness program that clears each eligible person's student housing loans, credit card debt, and more. Dennis, I mean, this is just as absurd as it gets. Your thoughts?
I laughed at it because in the aggregate, the $5 million will be, you know, so worthless that you might as well give them, you know, rolls of Charmin, you know, and, you know, be a better gift because this canard is being floated as yet one more means by the Central Intelligence Agency to stoke and foment a race war in the United States. They tried unsuccessfully with the gig that they ran with the rogue police officer in California that they allegedly had to kill with the Hellfire missile in Big Bear. But the problem with this whole thing is that the United Snakes of America, as I call it, the money is becoming so rapidly worthless that in a very short period of time, $5 million would be like $15, you know. I mean, you'll have to have wheelbarrows full of the damn crap to buy anything in the near future. So, you know, on the surface, it looks like a giant, wonderful windfall for people of color. But as rapidly as the Jew dollar and the I call it the Zio dollar and United Snakes is collapsing and becoming worthless, this country will resemble Zimbabwe, probably even more so after they start handing out this stipend in San Francisco. So, I mean, when you think about all the things that they do with helicopter money, and there'll be more stimulus in United Snakes, you can count on it, because after the utter collapse of the system, they'll have to create the illusion to prevent mass unrest that they're trying to give people something to survive on. But when it comes down to the fact that $50,000 won't buy a dozen eggs in the store because you won't be able to get the eggs because they don't exist for the most part, and that everything is astronomically expensive, how far will $5 million go? And last time I checked, the life expectancy of most black people wasn't even 60 years old. So this 150, 180 year, you know, 200 year lifespan that they plan on paying them this money, I mean, it's just a canard to trigger racial unrest and more division across the United States. And the unfortunate fact of life is that the moron sheeple in this country are too stupid to understand it for exactly what it is, which is just one more grenade being thrown into the ammo locker. So, I mean, look for more of this. It won't just be California that does it. It'll probably happen across the board because right now, companies like Walmart, for instance, are closing almost 160 stores across the United Snakes because they're being looted and robbed blind. They can't afford to keep them open. And, as this degradation and disintegration of society continues in America, how much money do you think the kikes can throw at people to tamp down the unrest to the point where the only thing that the money will have any use for is maybe to wipe your ass with or to light a fire with? Because it'll be utterly worthless. Nobody will take the Zio dollars anywhere on this planet except in this dog-forsaken nightmare that we live on called North America. So we're rapidly approaching the time where they could just make a decree, we're going to give black people $5 million a day, you know, and what good will it do? Well, when you can't get the goods because the stores are shut, and you can't drive your car because gas stations don't exist anymore because they've been looted and burned down, and oil production is zero. I mean, the kikes know the game they're playing here. It's called pit the stupid goyim against each other to the very last moment. Right? And the more racial strife and division that they can cause in this hellhole, the better for them, because it takes the spotlight off of them where it justifiably belongs, those assholes that are in charge of this shithole, and it puts it on people that absolutely are not even with a dog in the fight. So I have to laugh about this this thing about the $5 million crap, because, like I said, when this toilet paper becomes worthless, people won't even be able to wipe their bottom with the crap. It's just worthless.
Well Dennis,
the
it seems...
The only purpose it'll serve is to light a fire with it.
Dennis, it seems to me absurd. How could San Francisco afford to pay $5 million to its black residents? I mean, that's just ludicrous. Every aspect of this.
They created out of nowhere. I mean, that's been the Jew game forever, and the moron goyim have let it happen. I mean, the Rothschilds haven't – all they do is issue debt. That's all these notes are. They're debt notes. They have no use except to put you further in debt and make you, you know, conspire and do things to do the shekel grubbing out of the absolute need – to get more of the worthless toilet paper, because you can't keep a roof over your head anymore. People can't afford homes anymore. They can't afford food to put on the table. You know, in Great Britain itself, since they started to financially collapse because of their guilt problem with their bonds in the United Kingdom, they're in the first phases of a complete total financial collapse that will completely hit us as well, as soon as Japan kicks it off pretty good and gets it going. But it doesn't matter how much money they say they're going to give to people, because it'll be worthless toilet paper. When you try and trade worthless toilet paper for tangible, viable goods, what good does it do when the smart people won't even take the toilet paper? They're not going to accept the toilet paper. They won't take it. So it's a canard they're floating that has virtually no end game to alleviate the pain and suffering of the poorest of the black community, because the black community is just being used as a guidon for the Jews to drive a wedge right down the middle of society here. Because you know, I'm not saying that they deserved it in any way, make or form, because they really didn't. What happened 400 friggin' years ago is what happened 400 years ago. And yes, there's systemic racism and there's been suppression, but there's also, in my time in America, for all my entire life, it's also been true that any black person waltzing up to the bar challenging me for a position would get the job over me if they were a black and female, had crossed eyes and a peg leg because of affirmative action. And the white people know this is going on. I mean, it just drives an even deeper resentment wedge between the races themselves. And that's the goal. That's the Jew goal, is to keep the heat off of their ass when, in fact, they're fomenting all this unrest and all of this, I call it diversity. Which I don't know what you can call it when you can't even go to the grocery store without being held up at gunpoint by some black guy. And, you know, that by the way, they're not even... what, 13% of the population, but they make up the lion's share of the people that are incarcerated, not because of unjust laws, but because they're the ones that are running around willy-nilly killing people and doing the drug trafficking. And when the donut guards actually do put them away, which they're not going to be doing anymore, because in California you don't get put away for that. Oregon, the same difference. And Oregon just passed a piece of legislation, 114, which takes the guns out of the hands of the citizenry. Of course, it won't meet the muster if it goes to the Supreme Court. It'll get shot down there. But they rapidly want people to be victims in this country, and they want to foment unrest. And that, I can't think of a better way than to drive a deeper, wider wedge right down the center of society than to foment racial unrest like they're doing now.
Well, just incredible stupidity, in my judgment, the very idea of giving reparations to persons who never were slaves, from people who never held slaves, on the basis of an account of our history that we've long since sought to overcome. And I do agree this is a matter of exacerbating racial divisions where in the past virtually none existed. I mean, for God's sake, how racist can a society be when it elected a black guy president not once but twice, Dennis? The whole thing is a manifest absurdity, but it reflects the woke ideology of the Democrats, demon rats, who are destroying America. I mean, this is in 2 years, Dennis, we've gone from a very tolerable situation where we had energy independence, we had a thriving economy, we had a secure border, to one in which none of that is true, and the United States is rapidly descending into chaos and anarchy.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at the rapidly degrading situation, you and I both know, you know, beyond any reasonable doubt that at some point in time the donut guards will just quit and they'll walk. Then what? You know, when Goyim finally figure out that giving up their guns is a bad idea, because you'll have to pack heat, you know, just doing mowing your lawn or going to the mailbox in this country in the near future. Because the outright lawlessness is a pandemic worse than any kind of cootie that Fort Detrick or any of these labs in Maryland can crank out and put on the street to kill people. The pandemic now is a collapse of society. The pandemic is the utter loss of respect for all aspects of authority to the point where, you know, Mexicans and blacks predominantly, and a lot of white people that are white trash themselves, have now degenerated into nothing less than a zombie apocalypse where they run, you know, amok and kill people willy-nilly and get away with it. I mean, in some cases, like in Oregon and Washington State and across California now, you can walk into a store repetitively over and over again and grab armfuls of stuff and waltz out the door, and no donut guards are going to chase you down. And furthermore, when they see the writing on the wall, which I think that some of the smarter ones will see, why should they risk their life to protect the 1% on top that use them as pawns in a giant game of subjugation in the first place? I mean, there will come a time across the whole entire United Snakes that every single last swinging dick that's a donut guard is going to walk off the job, because they're going to wake up and realize that they've been played like saps and been used as cannon fodder to maintain order over a bunch of zombies and criminals. And we're rapidly approaching the time when the total anarchy and lawlessness will disintegrate society quicker than almost everything, because stores can't be opened, gas stations can't be opened, trucks won't be able to roll. I mean, there won't be any single part of your life that you can do on the street that you won't be able to do safely and effectively without having possibly more than one gun on your possession. In your possession with a lot of reload magazines, because the lawlessness and the complete total collapse of society is a bigger disease, I think, and a bigger problem than would be a thermonuclear exchange in the long run. Because what's worse, you know, to die in a flash, you know, 10, 15 million degrees, or to have a bunch of zombies running after you in a parking lot, trying to steal what little bit you were able to scam when the last few stores are still open. We're rapidly approaching a time when virtually all commerce will come to an end because the lawlessness will be completely, totally out of control. And the American sheep are too stupid to understand they've been played like fools and saps, and the donut guards have been used as sacrificial lambs to keep the lid on something that's going to blow up and cause mayhem.
Dennis, I'm opening the lines 540-352-4452. We already have Paul from California on the line. Paul, I anticipate a lot of what you're going to say. I'm glad you're here. Join the conversation with Dennis and me.
Wow. Wow. I'm going to send a tape of the first hour of the show to my good friends over at CNN, Wolf Blitzer and Anderson Cooper. Dennis, expect a call. Expect a call. You're going to be on soon.
I don't think so. I'm the last person that they want to have on national television. You know, because
I got to tell you, Jim, like I said, Go ahead. Sorry.
Go ahead. No, I didn't want to cut you off. Go ahead, Paul.
No, I was going to say, I got to tell you, Jim, this was probably the most hard-hitting, you know, racially slurring show I've ever heard, and even from Dennis. Dennis really took his game up a notch. I mean, the use of the word kike and the various plays on the United States and Putinstein, and it was priceless. I mean, if nothing else, it was just solid entertainment. I happen to agree with a lot. I disagree with the doom and gloom. I don't think there's any basis for this, you know, tilt of the axis, you know, Fukushima kind of stuff. And, you know, I firmly believe there will be no nuclear war. That's my prediction. I've been saying this for over a couple years. I'm not alone. I don't see it happening. Even if I believed in nuclear weapons, and I have my doubts about that, I just don't think that's going to occur. But other than that, you know, Dennis, you are extremely astute observer. The way that you phrase things and you frame things is perfectly delivered for the consumption of the American public, who unfortunately most people won't hear. But it's the absolute truth. And Jim, it just drives home, you know, what I've been trying to tell you for years. And I know you kind of get it, but you have to take issue with me, if nothing else, for kind of what I call pro forma reasons. But it's always been about race. It's a racial issue at its core. The Germans were right. The National Socialists were right. All the American and British writers from the past century and before have always been correct about race. And when you actually look at what was said in Europe, you know, not just by the Germans, but by many cultures, they regarded the Jews as aliens. Okay, you could say an alien race. You might as well say alien species. I mean, there's people that have taken issue with the fact that they're not fully human. I don't know about any of that. But they've been regarded as an alien race. And the bottom line is this, is they have indeed been involved in destruction everywhere they've been.
Yeah, and of course, you're not talking about black, white racial tension. You're talking about Jewish versus humanity tensions. Dennis, Paul is among several in my audience who call in who are skeptical about the existence of nuclear weapons. It's something that baffles me, but perhaps you could address that among other points that Paul has raised.
Well, no, I'm
not going to get in Paul's face over this because it, you know, I mean, everything I guarded nuclear weapons. I'm one of the few people on this ball that's actually had his physical hands on them by being a sentry during loading and offloading of them on the nuclear-powered guided missile cruiser that I was on for 5 years. So, I've been to Alamogordo and picked up the green glass, which is all over the entire site, by the way. It's not open for general people, but I took a Dodge truck one day with another friend of mine named Anthony Granillo, who worked with me at White Sands, and we went up there because we were going up range to set up a Patriot missile battery, do some survey work to set up the battery for a Star Wars test. And we stopped at Trinity and picked up some green glass and stupidly put it in my pocket. I got back to the PA-55 building at Wismer and put it on my desk and took a Geiger counter to it, and it was unbelievably radioactive. So then I immediately went out to the back door and whipped it out into the hinterlands and realized that 3 hours and change that it took for me to get back from Trinity from that site. I mean, the ground at Trinity is covered with it for large distances. I mean, I don't know how you can explain how so much radioactive green glass could be everywhere on
Jim,
the ground.
Okay, Jim. Okay,
hang on, Paul.
Jim?
Hang on, Paul. Let Dennis finish.
You did this,
Let Dennis finish.
I didn't want to do this. It's a show for another day, which you don't really want to have, because the bottom line is you haven't looked at what I've sent you already. But anyway, again, this is not a show about nuclear weapons. Dennis, I respect what you're saying. I'm not going to question it. It's a topic for another time, in my opinion.
Well, I'm not arguing with you at all. I mean, we can both agree to disagree, as you might have noted, I don't whip out ad hominems and call you disgusting names, which is really not my style anyway.
No.
So,
you
and I can have viewpoints because of our life experience. I can tell you with absolute certainty that when I went with my white Geiger counter, my CD700 series Geiger meter that I had with me at the loading location on the ship strike down hatch into the missile magazines, that thing always went into the peg on the top limit when I got within 3 meters.
I know.
That
is
a goddamn weapon.
It is another topic. Again, I did not want to do this.
Paul, you mentioned you opened the door when you said you were skeptical about the existence of nuclear weapons. Listen, Paul. Dennis is an expert in so many areas. He's a perfect guy to address that question. And I don't understand why you continue to second guess me as the host of the show about what issues I can address. I give you all this airtime, and then you act like an obnoxious asshole when you come on. I don't like that, Paul. Now shut your goddamn mouth and let Dennis reply. Dennis.
Why not? I mean, like I said, I don't want to. I'm not throwing, anything at Paul's assumptions, but I'm telling you that from my experience with them.
Shut up, Paul.
And going to Trinity and walking on highly radioactive ground and picking up green glass that was so radioactive that it...
Paul, I'm going to hang you up if you don't shut up.
So then we have to ask ourselves what would compel people to plant so much radioactive glass across thousands of square meters of area around the tower that the device is detonated on?
Okay, if you want to do this, then let me respond, Jim, because you let him talk for 10 minutes, and I didn't.
Oh, come on,
Paul.
I'm going to let you respond. When have I not let you respond? Go ahead. Respond. Right after the break, Paul will be back with a response. We'll be right back.
Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio. Revolution Radio, every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time.
on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job? That Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Now, we have a call in from a caller to whom I've given more airtime than I have any other caller in history who seems to think he's got the right to tell me what subject I can and cannot discuss on my own goddamn show. Paul, you just offend me up the wall. I'm going to give you the opportunity. I always give you the opportunity. Get your head screwed on right and stop this bullshit. Go ahead.
Well, after that fantastic welcoming of my comments, then I'll proceed. First of all, just because I say something like I don't personally believe or I'm highly convinced, you know, that doesn't mean I want to open up the door. All I said was I don't believe that we're going to have a nuclear war, even if I thought nuclear weapons exist. You could have just left it alone, Jim. That's all I wanted, okay?
Of course I could have left it alone. This is, Paul, hold on. This is a rare case where I've got the perfect guy to deal with that question that you've raised repeatedly.
I don't care what you say about him being the perfect guy. You said I can respond. Let me respond.
Paul, I'm going to shut you goddamn down if you don't get your mouth squared away. You're just being obnoxious beyond words.
Stop interrupting me. God damn it. Why do you tell me to respond and then you interject and you interrupt? Why do you do that?
So, go ahead, Paul. Say your goddamn piece.
Stop saying go ahead. I just said the word to continue, and then you say go ahead. To continue means I'm going to talk.
Paul, you got 5 seconds to talk, or I'm shutting you down.
Okay. Let me talk then. So listen, it doesn't matter what Dennis says about green glass or radioactivity or he's been to Trinity or anything else. That's all beside the point. I've made this case many times. You have not looked at the research. It's all over online. It's not just one or two people. And it's not nothing. Okay, Jim? It's not nothing. The neutron cross-section analysis. Many physicists are commenting on this. The math doesn't work. The actual neutron absorption required to continue a chain reaction is not there experimentally. These papers are out there. And look, when you do the photographic analysis, as people have done, and you haven't, Jim, of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, you see asymmetrical damage that would be inconsistent with an explosion that would average 20 pounds per square inch, and the temperatures allegedly of hundreds of thousands degrees. You see structures that were standing that shouldn't be standing. Again, you would expect symmetrical damage. You would expect to see certain things. Again, Nagasaki and Hiroshima look like every other firebomb city. Now, it's also admitted by the military that they placed dynamite on the platform. They stacked a bunch of dynamite, and they seeded it with radiation. And they're actually trying to say, well, it was a test thing, or it was a calibration explosion. Huh? That doesn't even make any sense. The whole thing, the nuclear hoax, which is what people are calling it, is riddled with fraud top to bottom, and it's full of Jew scientists. The Chicago Pile experiment was basically nothing but Jews. You can see by looking at the photographs of all the scientists together. And so here you got a guy who's very Jew aware, and he believes a certain thing. I don't believe it until further notice. I'm entitled not to believe it, and the reason I don't is it's not nothing. There's good stuff online that you don't look at and that other people don't look at, but you want to just blather what you already believe. We already know what you believe. We know most people believe Jew lies. I don't believe pretty much any Jew lie anymore, and I'm on firm footing. I've had multiple conversations with a guy with a master's degree in physics, and his professor that he still keeps in touch with from college also believes that nuclear weapons are a fraud. That does not say that nuclear radiation doesn't exist, and that doesn't say that you can't get heat from nuclear reactions. But explosive nuclear fission, based upon the physics, is not sustainable. That's my case. I did want to go there. I liked all the other stuff. I like the Jew stuff. I like the racial stuff. I like the Russia back and forth, the current events. That's what I commented on originally. So having said
Dennis,
from what I understand, there's 5% or less, 5% or less of blacks in San Francisco. You know, they don't really exist in very large numbers here in the Bay Area. So the whole thing is ridiculous. There will never be these reparations. Again, it's just floated out there to piss us all off. Thanks for hearing
Dennis me, is so close to you on so many subjects. I thought you would be open-minded to observations he would have where he's hands-on knowledge about nuclear weapons.
There's and no the fact, hands-on knowledge.
And the fact that you can cite your sources doesn't prove a goddamn thing. There's so much fake science out there these days, I'm surprised you allowed yourself to fall for it, in my opinion.
Oh,
in this
God,
area,
here we
you
go.
Are a gullible sap. You are a gullible sap, sad to say. Dennis. Dennis,
you're a blowhard. Your
thoughts,
man.
Dennis.
Well, when you look at the devastation in Hiroshima and Nagasaki both and the destruction that was wrought by one bomb dropped by one aircraft, it's not even – it's unconscionable to believe that, that 90,000 people would be killed by an airburst of any type of a device – that was anything but a nuclear device, because conventional weapons could not do that kind of destruction, and it would not render people into turn people into mere images on concrete because they were vaporized. You know,
it's ridiculous to postulate that massive, huge
waves of bombers materialized over these cities and dropped probably tens of thousands of incendiaries to get the same effect when there's no evidence to support that assertion.
Now, what are you talking about? It looks like every other firebomb city, Dennis. I highly encourage you to go online. You can read it in PDF form, okay?
It's called
Death Object, Exploding the Nuclear Weapons Hoax by Akio Nakatani. He's a Japanese math professor. Death Object, Exploding the Nuclear Weapons Hoax. Jim Fetzer has
There's about 220,000 dead people in Japan that wouldn't be dead today.
This is more ridiculous. Promotion of the myth. This reminds me of a conversation I once had with a guy who claimed, because he worked in a machine shop that was a contractor for NASA, right, that validated that we went to the moon. I actually looked at this man dead in his face. He was in his 70s at the time. I said, okay, because you worked in a hunk of metal here on Earth, you think we landed on the moon. That's some kind of evidence. You know, of course, he was pissed when I said that. Just because you went
We're not making assertions like that. We're telling you that no single device could do that kind of destruction unless it was a nuclear weapon. There is no conventional device that could render that kind of destruction in those two cities. If you've ever seen the Tsar bomb that the Russians detonated, and the fact that they had to ratchet it down for fear that they would ignite the Earth's atmosphere and burn us.
It's a fraud, and it's a lie.
I mean, they couldn't have possibly created that by they had no means to falsify a hoax that large to destroy a complete atoll, you know, in the Pacific when we did it, and when they detonated a bomb so powerful, it nearly destroyed the Tupolev 4 that
dropped.
Were
you there? I wasn't there.
No, but the thing is that I worked on instrumentation at White Sands Missile Range all the time. That is evidence. It is evidence. And the radioactive green glass for miles, Paul, green radioactive glass for at least 2 miles in every direction from where that tower was. How did that happen? It can't happen because people were so industrious that they would go out there with cartloads of the damn shit and drop it. It's ridiculous to postulate that.
I don't know this. I don't know this, and people will take issue with this.
Yeah, and what you're saying by remote control is you're calling me a liar about what I have seen and experienced. So I'm done with you, Paul, because you're full of shit. You're full of shit. You are full of shit. You are full of shit.
The Earth has been tilted off its axis.
You're full of shit.
You're full of shit for trying to scare people that we're going to have a nuclear war. You're full of shit for telling people that the best option we're all going to get nuked and suffer nuclear winter.
Paul, you're a broken record. Go away, Paul. We don't want to hear the bullshit anymore. You're parroting a bunch of bullshit Jew lies that you have no fucking idea. You haven't got a science background. You
haven't
got a physics background. You've got no education. You have no education. You can't show me a fucking education.
Paul, I'll bring
you
back another time.
You can think anything you want, but it shows that you have an IQ of a toaster.
Today I've had enough of you, Paul. I've had enough of you. Drop him, Mitchell. Drop him. Dennis, Paul ignores, for example, that the firebombing at Tokyo involved some 245 aircraft, that over Hiroshima and Nagasaki we had one plane, one bomb apiece doing that devastating damage. But I thought you would be the perfect respondent to Paul's many times reiterated claim that these nukes don't exist. And I'm sorry to say, because I have other callers here who believe Earth is flat, that those are the two myths that are being perpetrated repeatedly by followers of this show, and I respect them in other ways, but for God's sake, I mean, this is such claptrap. It's just embarrassing to me, Dennis.
You know what it is, Jim? It's well poisoning. When you take truth and mix it with bullshit, it completely destroys truth, because it's like trying to eat a shit cake that's 20% shit and 80% cake. I mean, that's what the Jews' intention is to plant uncertainty in every single aspect of what we think we know. And by the way, science isn't settled by any means. But I can tell you that I'm one of the few people on this planet that has both had his hands on nuclear devices, physically touching them as a sentry in the PRP program in the Navy, and also walking around at White Sands at the detonation at Trinity, where there's green glass everywhere. I mean, we're not talking about just under the tower. We're talking about thousands and thousands of meters away from that tower. There's green glass every fucking place, under the surface even. I mean, how the hell could that shit happen? There's no way that glass could be so highly radioactive and so ubiquitous everywhere around that site if that was a hoax. The Jews are capable of staging all kinds of bullshit, but the one thing that they're not capable of doing is moving literally millions of tons of radioactive green glass into the desert in New Mexico and planting it all over the fucking place. They're not capable of that.
I know.
It would take them years to do it.
You didn't finish the story about the green glass being in your pocket for hours. Did it do damage to your skin? Did you suffer radioactive burns?
Well, I had irritation, you know, because I had just like when the radioactive water from the crap from Fukushima dripped off the roof of my car and landed on my ankle and on my hand, I had radiation burns from that. So the only thing I could do was to treat it, but I probably did more damage to my body by having that in my pocket for the 2.5, almost 3 hours it took to get back to the site,
back
to PA-55, which is where I was working out of. And had I realized how extremely radioactive that shit was, I would have never put it in my pocket.
Sure.
You know, and the thing is that I randomly picked up pieces of green glass, you know, hundreds of meters away from the actual tower and put those in my pocket. I didn't pick them up right underneath the tower. I figured, well, this shit can't be so radioactive that it'd be that bad, but it pegged the meters that I had at the PA-55 building to look at it with, and I thought, holy shit, I screwed up. You know, and I took it and immediately tossed it out. I probably could have buried it so that the animals wouldn't be exposed to it. But how anybody can make the assertion that two aircraft carrying a bomb that had no capacity of containing 20 million tons of TNT, or I'm sorry, 20 kilotons of TNT, rather, were detonated over Japan and did damage that vaporized people and turned them into mere images on concrete. I mean, standard explosions won't do that. You can't get 10 million degrees in a fireball from a dynamite explosion. I'm sorry.
Right, not to mention the classic mushroom cloud that results from nuclear demolition. I mean, by the way, Mitchell checked, and there are 49,000 blacks in San Francisco. I multiplied 49,000 times 5 million, and that turns out to be $245 billion. How could San Francisco commit itself to a project that potentially is going to cost it $245 billion plus interest? It's just insane.
They can't do it, and they have no intention of doing it. But what they've done is they planted the seed of racial strife by getting, people that would object to this because they would go, well, why do they deserve it and I don't get it? I mean, this country, can only afford to ship huge numbers of amounts of money to Ukraine, $200 billion so far, I mean, it's getting ridiculous. This country is so bankrupt that we shouldn't spend 20 cents there, but because it's toilet paper that they can create out of nowhere on a computer. And by the way, this is a grift anyway. It's the biggest money law operation that the military-industrial complex will ever see. Because what we're doing is we're cleaning out the stockpiles of useless garbage and shipping that to Ukraine under the pretense that it's the top-of-the-line weapons shit, when in fact just the other day the Germans admitted that they don't have the capability to fight a conventional war because they ship so much of their retrograde to Ukraine as it is. And their military was decimated. So to give Paul credit, I mean, he can believe anything he wants to, but he's not talking to a village idiot that grew up underneath a fucking turnip wagon. He's talking to somebody that guarded nuclear weapons, actually worked on a lot of nuclear weapons programs in my DOD time, and actually worked on instrumentation to detect the nuclear radiation, the EMP burst that you don't get from a conventional device that captures this. It was built by EG&G in Albuquerque, New Mexico, at Sandia Labs. I mean, we wouldn't need all of this instrumentation. By the way, we had cesium beam ion clocks at all of these detonations that radically had different time relative to each other, and the only thing that can tear space and time and render it, it would be a nuclear detonation. No conventional blast will cause any effects on a cesium beam ion clock of any kind, except to destroy it. But these highly fortified cesium beam ion clocks at the sites of the detonations at the Nevada test site. By the way, I was on top of the Mint casino on my 13th birthday in Las Vegas when they detonated a nuke 90 miles uprange to the northwest of that position, and I could see the shockwave coming, not directly from the site because I couldn't see the site because of the curvature of the earth, but I could see the shockwave ripple across the desert floor, and then it rocked the building so badly that where I was standing on the 15th floor on the very top, the swimming pool swashed all the water out onto the street and drenched people that were walking down below on the street. How can any kind of a conventional device detonated at the nuclear test site 90 miles away cause that building to shake like that to where it swayed several meters in each direction to the point where all of us were frightened that the building might collapse? I mean, there's no way that a conventional device could do that. But going back to the racial thing that you're talking about, the Kikes are very desperate. They're going to drive every wedge that they can in every circumstance possible to create racial strife and societal collapse, because the only way that they can maintain control is when chaos reigns everywhere. because they will come up magically with a solution and say, look, gentlemen, we're going to give you one, you know, digital currency across the globe, and you're just going to have to take it. And by the way, you won't get your digital currency if you express any discontent or any kind of an objection to any of these things that we foist on you. Because the minute your credit score, your social credit score drops to a certain place, you won't get a damn thing. I mean, that's what's coming. I mean, that's what these kikes want. They want me and Paul to be at each other's throats, which I'm not going to do. He can believe anything he wants to, but it flies in the face of what I've seen and what I've touched and what I've done. And the fact I've looked inside of a nuclear reactor when it was fueled up and seen the Cherenkov effect inside that reactor, for Christ's sakes, and I lost a significant part of my thyroid and have radiation damage, not because of the crap that I had in my pocket, but because of the fact that I was, you know, periodically guarding nuclear weapons multitudinous times because nobody else wanted to be on that flight deck with them. You know, and I was the only idiot at the time, probably, that said, yeah, I'll do it, because nobody else wanted to do it, because they knew. And I had no illusions about the fact that those things were radioactive. When I turned on the Geiger meter and it pegged and saw that the thing went into the max limits, I didn't need to look at that meter twice to know what that meant. You know, the thing is that that these assertions by these kike-influenced people that listen to all this crap that's out there, even the flat Earth crap is absurd. You know, we can't possibly have the planetary weather systems that we have and Coriolis force and the generation of planetary weather if this was a flat disk spinning through space. It doesn't work like that. And by the way, the onset of daylight and twilight and everything would be like somebody flipping a switch on and off. You know, based on the only light source that sheds light on this planet being the sun, 93, you know, million miles away from the Earth. You know, and people think that we can be a flat disk when virtually every fucking planet in space is a sphere. I mean, take any droplet of water in a total vacuum in zero G environment, it coalesces into a sphere every single time. Never does it coalesce into a disk. Never. You know. I mean, there's so many arguments that completely shoot this flat Earth crap, this no nuclear weapons crap, and, you know, no Fukushima crap, and all this other bullshit. I mean, it's just ridiculous that these people could be so gullible and stupid to think that a person with a physics background and a science background and real hands-on experience with the goddamn shit is going to buy it. I'm not going to do it. My shoes and paid the price I have, I'm not going to believe it. I've been in the upper atmosphere too long to believe that this Earth is a flat disk. That's utter nonsense. It's not.
And of course, as a pilot, you can observe this curvature of Earth from the sky. I mean, this is a common report.
Yeah, I mean, it's not an illusion. You know, you can see the curvature of the Earth from any high altitude cockpit. You can't possibly not see it. You know, for ground pounders that never spent 2 minutes in an airliner cockpit anywhere, or have ever been in the upper atmosphere and could see the curvature of the Earth, and even with the blackness of space, you look straight up and you see a canopy of stars that the kikes completely destroy in all the photography of the ISS and this fake lunar crap. It's all fake. You know, but then to make the straw man argument that because some guy worked in a machine shop, and that means that we landed on the moon. I mean, that's a stretch for anybody to believe that. But basically, Paul's calling me a goddamn liar, which I'm not. I'm telling the goddamn truth. I have no constructive reason to lie about what I've experienced and seen,
well,
and done, and which is a matter of my military record. It's certified.
Good.
Dennis, I know. I mean, Paul thinks I was being abusive, but no, I was being opportunistic. How rare that I would have a guest on with whom Paul would agree on virtually everything you had to say, with the exception of this issue. I thought in his eyes you'd have great credibility, and when I knew you had this expertise, I wanted to exploit the opportunity. And for him to tell me who I can invite to comment or what questions I can address on my own show is just off the chart. I mean, he has done this repeatedly. And that is just grossly offensive. I've had to give him the boot more than once. But because the guy is so brilliant and has a lot of valuable input and perception and observations and opinions, I bring him back repeatedly. I'll bring him back again. But God damn it, Paul, get the lesson. This is my show. This is not your show. And I was using a unique opportunity with someone with whom I knew you'd agree on virtually every issue to address one where there's a difference, where he's in a unique position to address it. Yeah.
You know, this isn't about differing of opinion here. It's about how effective the disinformation campaign by the Jews has been. You know, because to make the assertion, to even float the idea that no nuclear war can happen is a complete absurdity. I mean, that in and of itself. Yeah, I mean, I would go down that path right to the point where all the evidence supports that right now we're on the brink of one. You know, and that we're anything but being out of the woods by any stretch of the imagination, because of the fact that the very kikes that rule this planet aren't going to give up power easily, and they're on the brink of losing global hegemony because of it. And that's where we're at. I mean, it's all well and good to think, oh well, nothing bad is going to come, but when you see that flash and your fucking face is coming off because it's being melted by the, you know, 5 to 10 million degrees of radiant heat coming from the blast, I tend to think that at that particular moment in time, you might really rethink that thesis, that nuclear weapons are fake and that all this other crap is unreal. And that the Earth is a flat disk.
At that millisecond, you know, before you're turned into ash. Dennis, this has been absolutely sensational. And you came on with very short notice. I'm just so pleased. And I'm looking forward to having you back, my friend. You were sensational today, just sensational.
Well, I mean, my goal wasn't to be sensational. My goal was to tell people that if there ever was a time to be in the streets and taking their governments down and dismantling them, this is the time. As a matter of fact, the time was 45 years ago. But we're in a very bad situation because people have stayed on the couch. And getting your congressman and your senator doesn't damn thing. I'll tell you that right now. It's a waste of your time. You shouldn't even bother with it. As a matter of fact, it just puts you on a list.
Dennis, this was more truth and brief compass than ever before, even on Revolution Radio. I can't wait to have you back again, my friend. And to everyone out there, this one bears rehearing. Thanks for being here. Thank you, Dennis. Great show.
Thank you, Paul, for rebutting me, but I appreciate your time coming on the show.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here, Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hand of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty!
mercy! Oh, give me death!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and